This is Nick Geyer, the Palouse Pundit, continuing a commentary from last week on the issue of torture. From 1984 to 1986, Colonel James Steele was head military advisor to the Salvadoran military, which was known to practice torture and political murder. In 2003, Steele reappeared in Iraq as chief security advisor to Paul Bremer. Some commentators have linked him to the torture chamber that was recently discovered in the bowels of the Baghdad Interior Ministry. In 2003, Lane McCotter, former director of the Utah State Prison System, was hired to reform the Abu Ghraib prison. During his tenure in Utah, Michael Valent died after 16 hours in a restraint chair, and another prisoner was bound to a four-point restraint board for 12 weeks. In Vietnam and Latin America, we sometimes arrange for others to do the dirty work for us, and this policy has continued in the War on Terror. Through a process called rendition, the CIA transfers terror suspects to its own secret prisons or to their home countries where they've been tortured. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice had to apologize to the German government for the rendition of its citizens, Khalid el-Masri, from Macedonia to Afghanistan, where he was subjected to 5 months of inhumane treatment. The U.S. also had to admit that it had captured the wrong el-Masri. On September 26, 2002, Canadian citizen Maha Arar was arrested in New York City and sent to Jordan, where he was tortured. On February 17, 2003, CIA agents kidnapped Egyptian cleric Hussein Mustafa Nasser on a street in Milan, Italy, and flew him to Egypt, where he was tortured, and then he disappeared. Ironically, the U.S. State Department blacklists Jordan and Egypt as countries that routinely torture their prisoners. Furthermore, the U.S. is a signatory to the UN Convention Against Torture that prohibits the return of prisoners to countries that are known to practice torture. On August 17, 2003, an email from the head of military intelligence at Abu Ghraib declared that the gloves were off and that the detainees were to be broken. 2 weeks later, Major General Jeffrey Miller flew from Guantanamo to Iraq on orders to improve intelligence on an insurgency that is now stronger than ever. Even though Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld had approved of harsher techniques, and even though 26 intelligence officers were implicated, only 8 low-ranking soldiers have been court-martialed for the crimes at Abu Ghraib. President Bush became personally involved in the case of al-Qaeda suspect Abu Zubaydah, who was known to have had mental problems. In his book, The 1% Solution, Ron Suskin reports that Bush asked CIA Chief George Tenet if torture really worked. Zubaydah was tortured, and he began talking about all sorts of plots, but not a single one was verified in a huge waste of resources. President Washington refused to allow his soldiers to use cruel methods that the British and Hessians were used against us. Continuing to preserve the moral high ground, President Roosevelt did not permit American officers to torture the Japanese, even though they had tortured thousands of Allied soldiers to death. The Axis powers were a far greater threat to world peace than a few thousand terrorists, but America still preserved its values. Senator John McCain, even though treated inhumanely by his North Vietnamese captors, insists that we are different from our enemies, and if the roles were reversed, we would not disgrace ourselves by committing torture. Even while detailing torture techniques, a CIA manual admits that the routine use of torture lowers the moral caliber of the organization that uses it and corrupts those that rely on it. By becoming like our enemies, we either alienate the people we want to liberate or drive them right into our enemies' hands. Rarely ever do evil means justify a good end, especially when the goal is a society of free persons whose value and dignity must always be preserved. This is Nick Geyer, the Palouse Pundit, requesting that you send your comments to nickgier@adelphia.net.